And this became an amazing phenomenon in the community. And indeed, it was so staggering to the multitudes that there was a whole series of interrogations that took place. There were the neighbors. How did this happen? Is he really that son of that was born blind? Well, he looks like him. And others said, yes, that's him. And then they came to the parents, and they were interrogated as well, both by neighbors and by the Pharisees. And when they found out that a man called Jesus was responsible, well, they really went into denial. Ah, this just can't be. Couldn't be.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and it is a joy to be on the air to bring you the message of the gospel today. And we're going to let the Bible speak on that message, John chapter 9, the blind man made to see. The miracle of our Lord Jesus giving to one who was blind from birth perfect eyesight is a great testimony to the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh who had come to give to his people the gift of eternal life. He was able to say, I am the light of the world. And then he made this blind man to see. What a wonder and what a blessing. And today we have an item in song as well as our question and answer now. And that is how to lead a child to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The aim of every Bible Sunday school teacher must be to lead each child to confess the Lord Jesus as Savior. The child who is taught two great tenets of the faith, man's lost condition through sin, and God's plan of salvation from sin, should be encouraged to receive the Lord Jesus personally. Medicine for sickness is only effective when it is taken into the body, and the power of the cross only saves the soul when that message is received by faith. Many Sunday school teachers have used the wordless book to teach the plan of salvation. That book has blank pages which are colored black, red, white, and gold. The blank black page shows the child his or her state due to sin. Then, turning over the wordless book is the red page, which teaches about the power of Jesus' blood to wash us from our sin. This leads to the white page, which teaches the believer's purity through the perfect righteousness of Christ. Then, and only then, can we turn to the gold page, which reveals the glory of heaven. A black sinner cannot enter heaven. Only through the blood of Jesus can we deal with the guilt of sin. The Lord gives his perfect righteousness to all who believe, and then, and only then are we ready for heaven. As a child learns these things, the Sunday school teacher will be praying for the Holy Spirit to work repentance and faith in the heart of the child. It is not enough to know these things. The child must personally believe. However, this has to be the voluntary desire of each child. There should be no pressure or artificial methods to bring a child to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit is at work, the child will respond to teachers or parents seeking help. When a child shows its need to be saved, the boy or girl should be counseled in a definite manner by asking him to read a verse from the Bible. A good verse is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The child is asked if he believes God's truth about sin and his promise to cleanse from all sin. Then the child should be encouraged to pray over the Bible. The teacher can then mark that text in a way that the child will be able to find it easily. This is the natural and faithful manner of leading a boy or girl to faith in the Lord Jesus. Then comes the need to build up a child in the faith, to enjoy assurance of salvation, and to grow in grace. Then the work of teaching really begins, for then the child has a new heart and new life that needs to be nurtured. regular teaching from the Bible is all the glorious truths of the gospel are essential for spiritual growth. The home life, church life, as well as the Sunday school life should work together to build up that new sapling in the Lord, that it may become a strong oak tree for God. The Sunday school teacher can begin by giving some instruction in the value of daily devotional reading and private prayer. A boy or girl would benefit from a reading plan which lays out the portions of the Bible to read each day. Parents should help with reminders and family prayers, and meditations in a Christian home reinforces the need for God's blessing on all we do. Prayer and Bible study is not just for church people within the walls of a church sanctuary. We need God's blessing in all of life, in our homes, school, work and play. Let us be mindful of the essential of teaching boys and girls and of a Sunday school where they will learn these Bible truths with the blessing of God. In our Free Presbyterian Church, we have a Sunday school where godly teachers seek to lay out the way of God's salvation, teach boys and girls in the Bible, and point them in the way to grow in the Lord. Please do be in touch with us if you're interested in to bring your child to our Sunday school. We'd love to have you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I just want to reinforce that offer of personal help in our announcements here today. We want to be in touch with you, and I trust that you will be in touch with us. Just to let us know that you're listening in, whatever station you receive this message on, and may the Lord encourage you in the Lord. And as we've been mentioning Sunday schools and the great need to teach boys and girls, let's remember to pray for the generation that is growing up around us who truly do need the Lord, who need to be brought to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the message today is from John chapter 9 on the blind man who was made to see. The Lord Jesus demonstrated his power. He was the light of the world, and he touched the eyes of the blind man to make him see. May the Lord minister to your heart today as we let the Bible speak from John chapter 9.
John chapter 9, the blind man, blind from birth, and miraculously healed. The means of this healing are just absolutely staggering. The Lord told this man to go wash. The Lord had taken clay and his own spittle, rubbed it on his eyes, and then he told him to go to the certain pool called Siloam and there to wash. And the miracle happened. And this became an amazing phenomenon in the community. And indeed, it was so staggering to the multitudes that there was a whole series of interrogations that took place. There were the neighbors. How did this happen? Is he really that son of that was born blind? Well, it looks like him. And others said, yes, that's him. And then they came to the parents, and they were interrogated as well, both by neighbors and by the Pharisees. And when they found out that a man called Jesus was responsible, well, they really went into denial. This just can't be. Couldn't be. And so after interrogating his parents and him again, they finally cast him out of the temple. And I just wonder who's the most blind, who really was blind. All the evidence was before them, and all they could do was get rid of the guy. They didn't want him in their midst. He was an embarrassment. He was one huge question mark that they didn't want to answer, and so they cast him out. Now, this miracle is really an exposition of the Lord's amazing statement where he said, I am the light of the world. The Lord had said that in chapter 8 and now in chapter 9. And he said in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And there's no better way to prove it. No better way to show that he is the one that gives light to those that sit in darkness. And this is another one of those incidents where the statement of our Lord is complemented with a miracle. Just like where the Lord says, I am the bread of life, and he fed 5,000 people. Or he says, I am the water of life. And he gave, of course, that interview to the woman at the well that we recently preached on. And here, the Lord is showing his mighty power in demonstrating that he is the light of the world. Now, for this man who was blind from his birth, this was the opening up of a new world. Can you imagine? We're not given his exact age, but he was an adult. So he had spent many years in absolute darkness. He had asked, what are trees like? And they would just take him and let him hug a tree. That's what a tree is like. The only way he could perceive things was touch. Could you imagine describing to someone who's blind the beauty of a sunrise on the horizon? You can't hug that. Or a sunset over the rippling water, the beauty of it. He could feel perhaps the heat of the sun on his face and that heat dissipating as the sun sets. But could he ever grasp such a scene? But now with new eyes, oh, what a world opened up. The blue sky, the green grass, the colorful world that God had created, it was to him a beautiful and a wonderful world. And instead of stumbling along over rocky roads, incapacitated, unable to go anywhere that was not familiar to him, he could visit the temple and see for himself the amazing structure. He could see the priests now at their priestly work. And I'm sure many times he had been told about the ministry of the priests, but now he could see and picture it all with his own eyes. But I think the best sight of all that this man had was not the religious activity of the temple or the structure of the temple, but the one who was the true temple, the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine when he returned from the pool? Now, the first sight he saw was not the Lord because he was in a separate location. But when he returned and saw the Lord, just to see the Savior. That's why this miracle is such a picture for us of the new birth experience when our spiritual eyes are opened. When we desire and can by faith see the Lord. That's what conversion is. That's what Christianity is. It's a people who have seen the Lord. And we have to have a testimony like this man. Once I was blind, but now I see. And we can only think of John Newton's great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. That's the testimony of the Christian. Now, there are many similarities between the restoration of physical eyesight and the bestowal of spiritual eyes in the new birth experience. And just as to this man, there opened up a new world. When you become a Christian, when you are born of the Spirit and you are given the spiritual eyes which Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, he became a sinner and he lost spiritual eyes. And there is opened now to the new convert a new world, an eternal world. A world that before we could not see, but now we behold by faith, the eyes of faith. That's the experience of every convert. And the lament of every convert is, how come I didn't see this before? I read it, I was told about it. I was preached to. I couldn't see it. Someone opened my eyes. That's what salvation is. The opening of the eyes of our understanding. Today, we want to look at the confessions of a convert. What is his great statement? I once was blind, but now I see. And of course, everybody wanted to know, how did this happen? Who did it? And his final statement always was, well, I can't tell you, but this I know. Once I was blind, now I see. So we have here the confession of past blindness. Whereas I was blind. And there was a confession that he was blind from birth. This man never saw the light of day before he was healed. And what a bitter disappointment he must have been to his own parents as a little baby. We're not told at what age they discovered the handicap of blindness. What a day it must have been when the mother holding that child came to the realization, this child's not opening his eyes. He doesn't seem to be influenced by bright light. There's no response for eyesight here. What a horrible, horrible thing for parents to go through. And I'm sure that they asked the question long before the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents? I'm sure that they were beating themselves up wondering, what did we do to deserve a child that's blind from birth? It must have been something that we did. Now, it was amongst Jews a common notion that God afflicted people or afflicted children to judge parents. You know, this sin of the father will be passed on to the child. And that was so ingrained from the Old Testament that there was this guilt trip. When something was wrong with a child, they immediately came to the conclusion, we sinned. We did something wrong to deserve this. And what a burden to carry. What a weight to endure going through life. And because you not only feel it yourself within the confines of your own family as husband and wife, but to open the door and the neighbors, what are they thinking? And they will come with the same concept. Oh, there go that young couple, and they have a blind baby, and therefore this is God's judgment upon them. Well, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus answered this in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Nor his parents. Oh, how the Lord just answered that in one sweeping, brief statement. They've not sinned. And it relates, of course, to us as spiritually born blind. How long have we been spiritually blind? From birth. And it's not just because our parents were bad people, but it's because of sin that's in the world, the fall, the curse. And it relates to the very fact that every one of us is born spiritually blind. You did not lose your spiritual eyes at 5 years old or 10 years old, or as most people think, kids are okay till they become teenagers. Just wait till they're 15. And then you will see the badness come out of their lives. Let me tell you, the problem of sin in our hearts did not start in teenage years. It started as David had to confess in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There's original sin. And it goes right back generation by generation, right to Adam, to the fall, to the curse, to the world in which we live, where there are these genetic defects. And how children are born healthy and some are not, that is all in the hands of God. But you'll notice this sad fact, and a very sad fact, born blind from birth. And worse still is to be so blind that you don't know you're blind. At least this fellow knew he was blind. He would admit it. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, those that are born spiritually blind, they don't realize their blindness. You see, if you were to lose your eyesight at, say, 20 years of age, you would know what you're missing. But if you're born blind, you don't know all that you're missing. Other people enjoy these benefits of eyesight, but you never did. And so when we are born spiritually blind, rebellious to God with a nature that is defiant of God, a depraved, sinful, twisted, carnal nature, and someone says, "Are you a good person?" You're blind to your sin. You don't realize what you've lost from your very birth. And of course, there are people who teach that the philosophies of this world, like evolution, that we're all getting better. And we are improving. And just generation after generation, there is an added information in our genetic makeup, and we are becoming better people, and we are becoming more moral and so on. What foolishness. Medically, every one of us is becoming sicker generation by generation. There are genetic problems in the gene pool of the world today that were not known prior times. And while there are discoveries and research for cures, yet the genetic issues still there. It's the opposite to evolution. It is the fact that we are devolving, that we're becoming less healthy, less perfect. And of course, spiritually, do you know anyone that will recognize that they're a sinner? Recognize that they've broken God's law and that every part of their nature is a fallen, sinful nature? Do you know people that will just suddenly recognize that? I think of Romans chapter 3, the clear statements of the apostle there. And when you read chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, which say, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." All under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, let me tell you, people can read that. Boys and girls can learn that in Sunday school. You can commit it to memory. But do you think that people understand and grasp the spiritual blindness that this refers to? No. That's the tragedy. Fallen, sinful man is so blind that he's not aware of his blindness. And then when you read on down these verses, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And do you think that people will take that to heart and say that, you know, that applies to me? That's the tragedy, the blindness. I was blind. But the Christian who is taught of the Spirit, born again, what is the first thing that he sees? His sin. His sin. The horror of it. And as we grow in the Christian life, we become more and more distressed with the very nature of sin, not only around us, but in us. And how blind we were to it. But now I see. Now I see. And if you're born again, if you're a convert of the Lord Jesus, this is your testimony. "I now see my sin. And I will accept the title sinner. I recognize that I am fallen. Once I was blind, but now I see." So he's blind from birth, but he was also blind without hope. In verse 32, we read in this account of John 9 that since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Born blind and without hope. There was never, until this occasion, there was never a report of anyone being healed from blindness from birth. Not one account. In fact, it was not until 1732. In a case like this, where a person was diagnosed blind from birth, that in a London hospital, a doctor called Chalcedon of St. Thomas Hospital performed a procedure that alleviated the blindness of such a case as this. And so when this was written in this time, in the day of the Lord Jesus, there never was a case, never was a case of one born blind that was made to see. And so this was an outstanding miracle. But of course, in his blindness, he thought there's no hope. No one ever held out any hope. Now, do you see the parallel in this? Only the Lord Jesus, only the Lord Jesus can cure spiritual blindness, sin blindness. Only the Lord Jesus is the answer to the sin nature. He's the one that has come into the world to give us hope where there was no hope. And, of course, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's why we preach, Jesus is the only way. He is your only hope. And if you reject him, you continue in blindness without any hope whatsoever. Once I was blind, now I see.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and our final text on which we let the Bible speak today is from Genesis 9, verse 9. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. These are the words of the Lord God to Noah. And what a covenant he made, that he would never again destroy the world by a flood. And since then, God has given us harvest, heat, cold, summer, winter, and he has kept that promise and shall do until the end of the world. What a message for the environmentalists, that God is in control. Christian, rejoice in this. God is in control. May he bless you today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.